On January 11th this year, I lost my beloved father. 2 days later, he was buried in a local parish cemetery. Now, in the state of Kerala, where my parents come from, Kerala is one of the 29 states in India, and also a state that has many Christians. In this state, common Catholic cemeteries are rare. And this is because from the ancient times, every parish maintained their own cemetery. Now, it's a good thing because people can actually simply walk to the cemetery to visit their loved ones. But the downside of it is that because parish cemeteries are small, there are only so many graves for the huge number of parishioners. So each family has a grave only for certain number of years. Some parishes provide graves for 3, in larger parishes, in the smaller parishes 5, and even the smallest parish maybe 7 years. After which, the remains are ritually removed and placed in a common vault. Now this means that my family and I will have our father's grave only for 3 years. After this, we have to find another way to remember Dad. And we know the way. We will be compelled to look for my father elsewhere. We better believe in the resurrection. After all, didn't something similar happen at the very first resurrection? On that first Easter Sunday, there was nothing in the grave. In the final analysis, there was no grave, only a stone that was removed. Folks, ever since that first resurrection, there are no permanent graves. Ever since that first resurrection, we must all look for our loved ones elsewhere. Really, our destiny is not the grave. Our destiny lies elsewhere, with God in heaven. Today is Easter Sunday, and I want to reflect on 3 points. It would not be Easter without 3 points. Jesus rose on the third day. So here are my 3 points for today. Each of the resurrection narratives, begins in fear and doubt. Early Sunday morning after the crucifixion and burial, the women went to the grave to complete the burial rituals, and this was because they had to bury Jesus in a hurry. The Sabbath was coming, so they could not complete all the rituals. At their reaching the grave, they were terrified and struck with fear. The body was not there. Now, I remember the moment between my dad still being there and he passing away. And that was a terrifying moment. Mom and I were in the hospital room, and just a half an hour earlier, Dad had opened his eyes just teeny tiny bit. And I went and spoke to Dad. And I called my mother and said, "Mom, Dad is awake now, please." So Mom went and spoke to him, and he shook his head so that we knew that he was listening to us. And we were consoled, and he was consoled. And then about half an hour later, as Mom and I sat right next to Dad, he took 6 deep breaths and he simply passed away. And that first moment is a terrifying moment. Mom and I just held on to Dad, and we must have said 1,000 Hail Marys. If you have been with your beloved, someone you love, when they actually passed away, you know that that is a defining moment. Something has changed in that moment that cannot be reversed forever. And yet, for those of us who believe, death is not defined by death. For those of us who believe, death is defined by life. For those of us who believe, death is not defined by fear and doubt, but with the assurance of what Christ has accomplished for us. Secondly, in every one of the resurrection narratives, fear is followed by assurance. Angels appear to the women, and something similar than these words are said: "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And for the first time, the women and the disciples are introduced to another possibility. There's another possibility, a hope that rises from faith. See, before my dad passed away, it was decided that my beloved mother will move with my brother about 1,000 miles away. And right now, Mom is with my brother. I just spoke to her this morning. Now, before I left Kerala to return back to the United States, and I left too early, I left just 10 days after my dad passed away, I said to her, "Mom, just in case something happens to you," I asked her, I said, "Mom, where would you like to be buried? Would you want to be where Dad is?" And my mom said, "Really, it doesn't matter, because his grave won't be there." Mom was really not concerned about being buried next to Dad. And indeed, why should she be? If you really think about it, the angels were right, isn't it? Why do you seek for the living among the dead? So my mom, oh my gosh, this woman is an amazing, amazing woman. She knows that if she meets my dad, it's not down there, but it's up there. Since my return to Dayton after my dad's burial, I have had 23 funerals. And every one of these funerals have been hard. First, because many of these people that I buried, I know them personally. I have a relationship with them. But then every funeral was a reliving of my dad's funeral. It's like God just wouldn't give me a break. The way I interpreted it, Jesus was every funeral giving me a knock on my head, 23 times, because it takes that many times for me, saying, "Your dad is alive. Why are you reliving his death? Why are you seeking for the living among the dead?" Folks, what would we do without our faith that Jesus is risen from the dead? I'm sure everyone here has buried someone they loved deeply. What would we do without our faith in the resurrection of Christ? And thank God for my faith. Because of that faith, I could do 23 funerals. 3rdly, today is Easter. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here who does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Anybody? Because if you did, you would just wasted an hour of your time here this morning. Now, I have another question for those who do believe. Do you believe that you have died and risen? If you don't, now we have another group of people who is wasting an hour of their time over here. What do I mean? Folks, today we are gathered here under the light of this Paschal candle. I love the Paschal candle. On the day of our baptism, perhaps you were baptized as a little child, or perhaps you were baptized as an adult, but on the day of our baptism, the minister gave us our baptismal candle that was lit from this Paschal candle, and the minister gave it to us and said, "Receive the light of Christ." That candle symbolized our immersion into the water, which symbolizes our death. And then when we emerge from the water, we believe that we have risen from the dead. In other words, when this candle is given to us, God is saying to us, "You are not somebody who is unclaimed by the death and resurrection of Christ." In fact, the Christian call is to live like we have died and risen. Our death is not awaiting us. We have already died to Christ, into sin, and we have risen with Christ. This life that we live as if we have already died. For this reason, Christian believers are called a resurrection people. We are a resurrection people not only because we believe that Jesus is risen, but because we share in the very death and resurrection of Christ. That's why Paul would say in the reading, he said, "Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Jesus Christ." Today, we are the witnesses to that resurrection. Not because we say, but because we live as if we had died. The world should see in us a people who have died to those things that Jesus put on the cross. Sin and selfishness, hypocrisy and self-righteousness, prejudice and hate, pride and arrogance. We nail it to the cross with Jesus and we say, "Yes, we have died to those things that Jesus died to." On the contrary, we live the new life of the resurrection, a life of love and mercy, of peace and reconciliation, of compassion and goodness, of holiness and virtue, of humility and righteousness. This is our new life. So if there is anything that Jesus is saying to us today, this Easter, it is simply this: live like you have died. our baptismal candle should be a reminder of that fact. Two things are going to happen after this homily. First, we will renew our baptismal promises. I will come around sprinkling the entire congregation with holy water. What are we saying? We have died to sin and we have risen to Christ. I propose that we make it an intentional exercise. Really renew our faith in Christ Jesus. Renew and let us proclaim that we are people that have already died. We should not look for the living among. We should not look for the living among the dead. We are not a people of the grave. Secondly, isn't this altar now our empty tomb? The women came to the tomb and they found the tomb empty, and from there emerged Jesus. From this empty tomb, we will receive the risen Christ and enter into communion with him in a few moments. Let us pray that we indeed, having received the risen Christ, will be a resurrection people. People of God said,